She'll come around soon.
Well, what am I supposed to do with her if she won't even speak? My mother bites back. Noah, able to deal with my callous mother in a way that no one else can, softly says,
Carol, she just found her dad's body a few days ago. Be easy on her.
I've never been so relieved to be near Noah in my entire life. As much as I love Landon, and as thankful as I am for his family right now, I need to be taken away from this house. I need someone like my oldest friend now, someone who knew me before. I'm going crazy. I know I am. My mind hasn't been functioning properly since my foot hit the very solid and very still body of my father. I haven't been able to process a single rational thought since I cried his name and shook him so hard that his jaw fell open and the needle popped out of his arm, landing with a clinking noise that still echoes inside my broken mind. Such a simple sound. Such a horrific sound. I felt something inside me snap when my father's hand jerked in mine, an involuntary muscle spasm that I still can't decide about, whether it actually happened or if it was my mind creating a false sense of hope. That hope quickly vanished when I checked his pulse again, only to feel nothing, only to leave me staring into his dead eyes. Noah's stride gently rocks me as we move through the house.
I'll call her phone later to check on her. Please answer so I can see how she's doing,
Landon softly requests. I want to know how Landon is. I hope he didn't see what I saw. I just can't remember. I know I was holding my father's head in my hands, and I think I was screaming or crying or both when I heard Landon enter the apartment. I remember him trying to fight with me to let go of the man who I was only beginning to know, but after that, my mind jumps straight to when the ambulance arrived and blanks out again until I was sitting on the floor at the Scott's home.
I will,
Noah assures him, and I hear the screen door opening. Cool drops of rain land on my face, washing away days' worth of tears and filth.
It's okay. We're going home now. It's all going to be okay,
Noah whispers to me, his hand pushing my rain-soaked hair off my forehead. I keep my eyes closed and rest my cheek against his chest. Its heavy beat only reminds me of when I pressed my ear against my father's chest, only to find no heartbeat, no breathing.
It's okay,
Noah says again. This is just like old times, his coming to my rescue after my father's addictions wreak havoc. But there are no greenhouses to hide in, not this time. This time there is only darkness and no escape in sight.
We're going home now,
Noah repeats as he places me into a car. Noah's a dear, sweet person, but doesn't he know that I have no home? The hands on my clock move so slowly. The longer I stare at them, the more they mock me, slowing down with each click of their hands. My old bedroom is so big. I could have sworn it was a small room, but now it feels massive. Maybe it's me that feels small. I feel light now, lighter than I did the last time I slept in this bed. I feel like I could float away and no one would notice. My thoughts aren't normal. I know this. Noah tells me this each time he tries to talk me back into reality. He's here now. He hasn't left since I lay down in this bed, Lord knows how long ago.
You're going to be okay, Tessa. Time heals all. Remember, our pastor always said that.
Noah's blue eyes are worried for me. I nod, staying silent, and stare at the provoking clock hanging on the wall. Noah drags a fork along the untouched plate of food from hours ago.
Your mother is going to come in and make you eat dinner. It's late, and you still haven't touched your lunch.
I glance toward the window, noting the darkness outside. When did the sun disappear, and why didn't it take me with it? Noah's soft hands gather mine in them, and he asks me to look at him.
Just take a few bites so she will let you rest.
I reach for the plate, not wanting to make things more difficult for him, knowing he's just doing my mother's bidding. I bring the stale bread to my mouth and try not to gag on the rubbery lunch meat as I chew. I count the time it takes to force myself to take 5 bites and swallow them down with the room temperature water left on the nightstand from this morning. I need to close my eyes, I tell Noah, when he tries to offer me some grapes from the plate. no more. I gently push the plate away. The sight of food is making me want to vomit. I lie down and bring my knees to my chest. Noah be Noah reminds me of the time we got in trouble for throwing grapes at each other during Sunday service when we were 12.
That was our most rebellious thing we did, I think,
he says with a soft laugh. The sound puts me to sleep.
You're not going in there. The last thing we need is you setting her off. She's sleeping for the first time in days, I hear my mother's voice say from down the hall.
Who is she talking to? I'm not sleeping, am I? I lean up on my elbows and the blood rushes to my head. I'm so tired. So tired. Noah is here, in my childhood bed with me. It all feels so familiar. The bed, the messy blonde hair sticking up from Noah's head. I feel different, though. Out of place and disoriented.
I'm not here to hurt her, Carol. You should know that by now.
You? My mother attempts to fight back, but she's interrupted.
You should also know that I still don't give a fuck what you say.
My bedroom door opens, and the last person I thought I'd see pushes past my irate mother. Noah's arm is heavy across me, weighing me into the bed. His grip tightens on my waist in his sleep, and my throat burns at the sight of Hardin. His green eyes are furious at the sight in front of him. He crosses the room and forcefully yanks Noah's arm from my body.
What the?
Noah wakes with a startle and jumps to his feet. When Hardin takes another step toward me, I scramble across the twin bed and my back hits the wall, hard. Hard enough to knock the wind from me, but I still try to get away from him. I cough and Hardin's eyes soften. Why is he here? He can't be here. I don't want him here. He's done enough damage and he doesn't get to just show up here and pick at the scraps.
Fuck. Are you okay?
His inked arm reaches for me, and I do the first thing that comes to my twisted mind. I scream.
Chapter 24. Hardin. Her screams fill my ears, my empty chest, my lungs, until they finally rest somewhere inside me that I wasn't quite sure could be reached anymore. A place only she can access, and always will. What are you doing here? Noah jumps to his feet and moves between me and the small bed like some fucking white knight designated to protect her from me. She's still screaming. Why is she screaming? Tessa, please! I'm not sure what I'm asking for, but her screams turn to coughs, and her coughs turn to sobs, and her sobs turn to choking sounds that I simply can't handle. I take a cautious step toward her, and she finally catches her breath. Her haunted eyes still rest on me, burning a hole into me that only she can fill. Tess, do you want him here? Noah asks. It's taking every ounce of my self-control to ignore that he's here in the first place, and he's really pushing it. Get her some water! I tell her mum. She ignores me. Then, unbelievably, Tessa's head moves swiftly back and forth, denying me. That triggers her makeshift protector to raise his hand to me and grow bold. She doesn't want you here.
She doesn't know what she wants! Look at her!
I throw my hands in the air and immediately feel Carol's manicured nails digging into my arm. She's lost her shit if she thinks I'm going anywhere. Doesn't she know by now that she can't keep me away from Tessa? Only I can keep myself away from her. A stupid fucking idea that I can't seem to hold to. Noah leans in toward me a little. She doesn't want to see you, and you would be best to leave. I don't give a fuck that the kid has seemed to grow in size and muscle mass since the last time I've seen him. He's nothing to me. He will soon learn why people don't bother to even attempt to come between Tessa and me. They know better, and he will too. I'm not leaving. I turn to Tessa. She's still coughing, and no one seems to care.
Someone get her some goddamn water!
I yell in the small room, and the noise echoes from wall to wall. Tessa whimpers and pulls her knees to her chest. I know she's in pain, and I know that I shouldn't be here. but I also know that her mum and Noah will never be able to truly be there for her. I know Tessa better than the two of them combined, and I've never seen her this way. So surely neither of them will have a clue what to do with her while she's in this state.
I'll call the police if you don't leave, Harden,
Carol says, low and threatening from behind me.
I don't know what you did this time, but I'm sick of it, and you have no place here. You never have, and you never will.
I ignore the two interlopers and take a seat on the edge of Tessa's childhood bed. To my horror, she moves away again, this time scuttling back with her hands, until she hits the edge and falls hard to the floor. I'm on my feet in seconds to bring her into my arms, but the sounds she makes when my skin touches hers are even worse than the horrified screams that sounded from her minutes ago. I'm not sure what to do at first, but after endless seconds of this, a broken scream of,
"Get off of me!"
leaves her cracked lips and slices clear through my body. Her small hands pound at my chest and claw at my arms, trying to break my embrace. It's hard to try to comfort her this way with this cast on. I'm afraid it will hurt her, and that's the last thing I want. As much as it kills me to see her so desperate to get away from me, I'm so fucking happy to see her react at all. The mute Tessa was the worst, and instead of yelling at me like she is now, her mum should be thanking me that I brought her girl out of that phase in her grief.
Get off!
Tessa screams again, and Noah begins to protest behind me. Tessa's hand hits my solid cast, and she cries out again.
I hate you!
Her words burn me, but I still hold her flailing body in my arms. Noah's deep voice breaks through Tessa's screams.
You're making things worse!
Then she goes mute again, and does the worst thing she could do to my heart. Her hands break free of my hug. It's harder than hell to hold her with one hand. And she reaches for Noah. Tessa reaches for Noah to help her, because she can't stand the sight of me. I let go of her immediately, and she rushes into his arms. One of his arms hooks around her waist, and one rests at the base of her neck, pulling her head to his chest. Fury wrestles with sense, and I'm fighting my hardest to stay calm, watching his hands on her. If I touch him, she will hate me even more. If I don't, I'll be driven crazy watching this. Fuck! Why did I come here in the first place? I should have stayed away, just like I had planned. Now that I'm here, I can't seem to force my feet out of this goddamn room, and her cries only trigger my need to keep her near. I can't fucking win for losing, and it's making me crazy.
Make him go.
Tessa sobs into Noah's chest. The splintering pain of rejection seeps in, making me motionless for a few seconds. Noah turns to me, silently begging in the most civil way for me to leave the room. I hate that he's become her comfort. One of my biggest insecurities has slapped me in the face, but I can't think of it that way. I have to think of her. Only what's best for her. I back away clumsily, reaching and scrambling for the door handle. Once I'm outside the small room, I lean against the door to catch my breath. How did our life together spiral down so much in such a short time? I find myself in Carol's kitchen, filling a glass with water. It's awkward, since I only have one usable hand, and it takes longer to get the cup, fill it, and turn off the faucet, all the while the huffing woman behind me grating my nerves. I turn to face her, waiting for her to tell me she called the police. When she just glares at me silently, I say, I don't care about the trivial shit right now. Go ahead and call the police, or do whatever you have to do. But I'm not leaving this shithole of a town until she talks to me. I take a drink from the glass and cross the small but immaculate kitchen to stand before her. Carol's voice is hard.
How did you get here? You are in London.
It's called a fucking plane, that's how.
She rolls her eyes.
Just because you fly across the world and show up before the sun comes up doesn't mean you have a place with her, she says, seething. She made that clear. Why won't you leave her? You're only hurting her, and I won't continue to stand around and allow it.
I don't need your approval.
She doesn't need you,
Carol fires back, grabbing the glass from my hand as if it were a loaded gun. She slams it onto the counter and meets my eyes.
I know you don't like me, but I love her. I make mistakes, way too fucking many of them. But Carol, if you think I'm going to leave her with you after she saw what she saw, experienced what she experienced, then you're even crazier than I thought.
I pick the glass back up just to spite her and take another drink.
She will be fine, Carol remarks coolly.
She pauses for a minute, and something inside her seems to crack.
People die, and she will get over it.
She says it loudly, too loudly. I hope that Tessa couldn't hear her mother's cold remark.
You're serious? She's your fucking daughter, and he was your husband.
I trail off, remembering the two weren't actually legally married.
She's hurting, and you're being a heartless bitch, which is exactly why I won't leave her here with you. Landon shouldn't have let you come get her in the first place.
Carol cocks her head back indignantly.
Let me? She's my daughter.
The glass in my hand shakes, and the water laps over the side onto the floor.
Maybe you should act like it, then, and try to be there for her.
Be there for her? Who's here for me?
Her emotionless voice cracks, and I'm shocked when the woman who I was convinced was made of stone crumbles and leans against the counter to keep herself from falling to the floor. Tears roll down her face, which is heavily made up despite that it's only 5 in the morning.
I didn't see that man for years. He left us. He left me after making promise after promise of a good life.
Her hands swipe across the counter, knocking jars of utensils to the floor.
He lied. He lied to me. And he left Tessa and ruined my entire life. I could never even look at another man after Richard Young. And he left us!
She screams. When she grasps my shoulder and digs her head into my chest, sobbing and screaming, for a flash she looks so much like the girl I love that I can't bring myself to push her away. Not knowing what else to do, I wrap one arm around her and stay silent.
I wished for this. I wished he would die,
she admits through her tears. I can hear the shame in her voice.
I used to wait for him. I used to tell myself that he would come back for us. For years I did this. And now that he's dead, I can't even pretend anymore.
We stay this way for a long time, her crying into my chest, telling me in different ways, with different words, that she hates herself because she's glad that he's dead. I can't find words to comfort this woman, but for the first time since I met her, I can see the broken woman behind the mask.
Chapter 25. Tessa. After a few minutes of sitting with me, Noah gets up, stretches, and says,
I'm going to get you something to drink. You need food, too.
My fists wrap around his shirt and I shake my head, begging him not to leave me alone. He sighs.
You'll get sick if you don't eat something soon, he says,
but I know I've won the battle. Noah has never been one to hold his ground. The last thing I want is something to drink or eat. I only want one thing, for him to leave and never come back.
I think your mom is giving Harden an earful.
Noah attempts a smile but fails. I hear her yelling and something crashes in the distance, but I refuse to let Noah leave me alone in the room. If I'm left alone, he will come in. That's what he does. He preys on people when they are at their weakest, especially me, who has been weak since the day I met him. I lay my head back on my pillow and block out everything. My mother screaming, the deep, accented voice yelling back at her, and even Noah's comforting whispers in my ear. I close my eyes and drift between nightmares and reality, trying to decide which is worse. When I wake up again, the sun is bright through the thin curtains tacked over the windows. My head is pounding, my mouth is dry, and I'm alone in the room. Noah's tennis shoes are on the floor, and after a moment of peaceful confusion, the weight of the last 20 hours knocks the breath out of me, and I bury my face in my hands. He was here. He was here, but Noah and my mother helped.
Tessa,
his voice says, startling me out of my thoughts. I want to pretend this is a phantom, but I know it's not. I can feel his presence here. I refuse to look up at him as I hear him enter the room. Why is he here? Why does he think he can toss me aside, then swoop back in when it's convenient? That's not happening anymore. I've already lost him and my father, and I don't need either loss shoved in my face right now. Get out, I say. The sun disappears, hiding behind the clouds. Even the sun doesn't want to be near him. When I feel the bed shift under his weight, I hold my ground and try to hide the shiver that passes through me.
Have some water.
A cold glass is pressed against my hand, but I swat it away. I don't even flinch when I hear it fall to the floor.
Tess, look at me.
Then his hands are on me, icy, his touch almost foreign, and I jerk away. As much as I want to crawl into his lap and let him comfort me, I don't. And I won't. Not ever again. Even with my mind in the place it is now, I know that I won't ever let him in again. I can't, and I won't.
Here.
Hardin hands me another glass of water from the bedside table, this one not as cold. Instinctively, I grab it. I don't know why, but his name echoes in my mind. I didn't want to hear his name, not in my own head. That's the only place I am safe from him.
You'll drink some water,
he softly demands. I stay silent as I bring the glass to my lips. I don't have the energy to refuse the water out of spite, and I am beyond thirsty. I finish the entire glass within seconds, my eyes never leaving the wall.
I know you're angry at me, but I just want to be here for you.
He lies. Everything he says is a lie. Always has been, always will be. I stay quiet, a low snort coming from my mouth at his claim.
The way you acted when you saw me last night,
he begins. I can feel his eyes on me, but I refuse to look at him.
The way you screamed. Tessa, I've never felt pain like that.
Stop it, I snap. My voice doesn't sound like my voice, and I begin to wonder if I'm even awake right now or if this is another nightmare.
I just want to know that you're not afraid of me. You aren't, are you?
This isn't about you, I manage. And it's true, absolutely true. He's tried to make this about him, his pain. But this is about my father's death and that I can't take any more heartache.
Fuck,
he sighs, and I just know that he's running his hands over his hair.
I know it's not. That's not what I meant. I'm worried about you.
I close my eyes and hear thunder in the distance. He's worried about me? If he was so worried about me, maybe he shouldn't have sent me back to America alone. I wish I hadn't made it home. I wish something had happened to me on the trip back, so he could deal with the loss of me. Then again, he probably wouldn't want to be bothered. He would be too busy getting high. He wouldn't even notice.
You aren't yourself, baby.
I begin to shake at the use of the sick nickname.
You need to talk about this. Everything with your dad. It will make you feel better.
His voice is too loud, and the rain is pounding against the old roof. I wish it would just cave in and let the storm outside sweep me away. Who is this person sitting here with me? I sure as hell don't know him, and he doesn't know what he's talking about. I should talk about my father? Who the hell is he to sit here and act like he cares about me, like he could help me? I don't need help. I need silence. I don't want you here.
Yes, you do. You're just mad at me right now because I acted like an asshole and I fucked up.
The pain I should feel isn't there. Nothing is. Not even when my mind flashes with the images of his hand on my thigh as we drive in his car, his lips gently sliding over mine, my fingers threading through his thick hair. Nothing. I feel nothing as the pleasant memories are replaced with ones of fists flying through drywall and that woman wearing his shirt. He slept with her only days ago. Nothing. I feel nothing. And it feels so good to finally feel nothing, to finally have control over my emotions. I'm realizing as I stare at the wall that I don't have to feel anything I don't want to. I don't have to remember anything I don't want to. I can forget it all and never allow the memories to cripple me again. I'm not. I don't clarify the words, and he tries to touch me again. I don't move. I bite my cheek, wanting to scream again, but not wanting to give him the satisfaction. The calming ease that sweeps over me from his fingers on mine proves just how weak I am, right after I'd just settled on a path of perfect numbness.
I'm sorry about Richard. I know how...
No. I pull my hand away. No, you don't get to do this. You don't get to come here and pretend like you're here to help me when you're the one who has hurt me the most. I won't tell you again. I know my voice is flat. I hear it sounding as unconvincing and empty as I feel inside. Get out. My throat hurts from speaking so much. I don't want to talk anymore. I just want him to go away, and I want to be left alone. I focus on the wall again, not allowing my mind to taunt me with images of my father's dead body. Everything is messing with me, fucking with my mind and threatening the tiny bit of reason left inside me. I'm grieving two deaths now, and it's tearing me apart piece by tiny piece. Pain isn't remotely kind in that way. Pain wants its promised pound of flesh, ounce for ounce. It won't settle until you're left with nothing but a flaky shell of who you were. The burn of betrayal and the sting of rejection hurt, but nothing compares to the pain of being empty. Nothing hurts worse than not hurting at all, and that makes no sense and perfect sense at the same time convinces me I'm going fucking crazy. And I'm actually okay with that.
Do you want me to get you something to eat?
Did he not hear me? Does he not understand that I don't want him here? It's impossible to think that he can't hear the chaos inside my mind.
Tessa,
he presses when I don't respond. I need him to get away from me. I don't want to look into those eyes. I don't want to hear any more promises that will be broken when he begins to let his self-hatred take over again. My throat burns. It hurts so bad, but I yell for the person who really cares. Noah! As soon as I do, he's rushing through the bedroom door, looking determined to be the force of nature that will finally move the immovable Harden out of my room, out of my life. Noah stands in front of me and looks at Harden, who I finally spare a glance at.
I told you if she called for me, that was it.
Instantly moving from soft to enraged, Harden's shooting bullets at Noah, and I know he's trying hard to rein in his temper. There's something on his hand. A cast? I look again, and sure enough, a black cast covers his hand and wrist.
Let's get something clear,
Harden says as he stands and looks down at Noah.
I'm not trying to upset her, and that's the only reason I haven't snapped your fucking neck, so don't push your luck.
In my damaged, chaotic mind, I can see my father's head snapping back, jaw popping open. I just want silence. I want silence in my ears, and I need silence in my mind. I start gagging as the image multiplies as their voices get louder, angrier, and my body begs me to just let it all go, to just let everything out of my stomach. The problem is that there's nothing inside me but water, and so acid burns my throat when I vomit onto my old comforter.
Fuck!
Harden exclaims.
Get out, dammit!
He shoves at Noah's chest with one hand, and Noah stumbles back, bracing himself against the frame of the door.
You get out. You're not even wanted here.
Noah fires back and rushes forward, pushing Harden. Neither of them notice as I stand from the bed and wipe vomit from my mouth with one sleeve, because all either of them can see is red and their infinite loyalty to me. I make it out of the room, down the hall, and out the front door without either of them noticing.
Chapter 26. Harden.
Fuck you!
My cast connects with Noah's jaw, and he rears back, spitting blood. He doesn't stop, though. He charges me again and knocks me to the floor.
You son of a bitch!
He yells. I roll on top of him. If I don't stop now, Tessa will hate me even more than she already does. I can't stand this asshole. But she cares for him, and if I do any real damage to him, she will never forgive me. I manage to get to my feet and put some distance between this fucking newfound linebacker and myself. Tessa! I start and turn to the bed, but my stomach drops when I find it empty. A wet stain from her getting sick is the only evidence that she was there at all. Without a glance at Noah, I stalk down the hallway, calling her name. How could I be so stupid? When will I stop being such a fuck-up?
Where is she?
Noah asks from behind me, following me like a suddenly lost puppy. Carol is still asleep on the couch. She hasn't moved from the spot I laid her in last night after she fell asleep in my arms. The woman may hate my fucking guts, but I couldn't deny her comfort when she needed it. To my horror, the screen door is open and hanging on the hinges, blowing back and forth in the wind from the storm. Two cars are parked in the driveway, Noah's and Carol's. The $100 cab ride I took here from the airport was worth the time I would have wasted going all the way to Ken's house for my car. At least Tessa hasn't tried to drive anywhere.
Her shoes are here!
Noah picks up one of Tessa's flimsy shoes and tosses it back onto the floor. Blood is smeared across his chin, and his blue eyes are wild, filled with worry. Tessa is walking around alone in the middle of a massive storm because I let my fucking ego take over. Noah disappears for a moment while I scan the landscape outside, trying to catch a glimpse of my girl. When Noah returns from searching her room again, her purse is in his hand. She has no shoes on, no money, and no phone. She couldn't have gone far. We were only fighting for a minute, tops. How could I let my temper distract me from her?
I'll get in my car and check around the block,
Noah says, pulling his keys from the pocket of his jeans and walking out the door. He has the advantage here. He grew up on this street. He knows this place, and I don't. I look around the living room and then walk to the kitchen. I glance out the window and realize that I have the advantage, not him. I'm surprised he didn't think of this himself. He may know the town, but I know my Tessa, and I know exactly where she is. The rain is still coming down in large, unforgiving sheets as I descend the back porch steps with one stride and cross the grass to the small greenhouse in the corner, hiding between a cluster of swaying trees. The metal door is cracked open, proving my instincts right. I find Tessa huddled on the floor, dirt covering her jeans and her bare feet layered in mud. Her knees are pulled to her chest, and her shaky hands are covering her ears. It's a heartbreaking sight, seeing my strong girl reduced to a shell. Pot after pot of dirt lines the poor excuse for a greenhouse. It's obvious that no one has been in here since Tessa left home. A few cracks are in the ceiling, sending streams of rain down in random spots throughout the small space. I don't say anything, but I don't want to surprise her, and I hope she can hear the sloshing of my boots against the mud covering the floor. When I look down again, I see that there is no floor after all. That explains all the mud. Taking her hands away from her ears, I lean down to force her eyes to mine. She thrashes away like a cornered animal, and I flinch at her reaction, but keep my grip on her hands. She digs her hands into the mud and uses her legs to kick at me. The moment I let go of her wrists, she covers her ears again, a terrible whimper falling from her full lips.
I need quiet,
she begs, slowly rocking back and forth. I have so many things to say, so many words to throw at her in hopes that she will listen to me and come out of hiding within herself. But one look into her desperate eyes, and I lose them all. If she wants quiet, I will give her that. Fuck, At this point, I will give her anything and everything she wants, as long as she doesn't force me to leave. So I move closer to her, and we sit on the muddy floor of the old greenhouse. The greenhouse that she used to hide away from her father. The greenhouse that she's now using to hide from the world. To hide from me. We sit here as the rain pounds against the glass roof. We sit here as her whimpers turn to quiet sobs, and she stares into the empty space in front of her. And we sit in silence, with my hands over her small fingers covering her ears, blocking her from the noise around us, giving her the silence she needs. Chapter 27. Harden. As I sit here listening to the sounds of the unforgiving storm outside, I can't help but draw comparisons to the shitstorm I've made out of my life. I'm an asshole, the biggest one, the worst possible fucking kind of dickhead there is. Tessa finally fell still only minutes ago. Her body leaned toward me, and she allowed herself to rest against me for physical support. Her swollen eyes closed, and now she's asleep, despite the rain pounding loudly on the flimsy greenhouse. I shift slightly, hoping that she won't wake when I lay her head down onto my lap. I need to get her out of here, out of the rain and away from the mud. But I know what she will do when she opens her eyes. She's going to cast me away, tell me that I'm not wanted here, and, fuck, I'm not ready to hear those words again. I deserve them. All of them and then some. But that doesn't change that I'm a goddamned coward, and I want to enjoy the silence while it lasts. Only here in the sweet silence can I pretend to be someone else. I can, just for a minute, pretend that I'm Noah. Well, a less annoying version of him. But if I were him, things would have been different. Things would be different now. I would have been able to use words and affection to win Tessa over from the beginning, instead of some stupid game. I would have been able to make her laugh more often than cry. She would have trusted me wholly and completely, and I wouldn't have taken that trust, crumbled it into ash, and watched it blow away. I would have savored her trust, and maybe even been worthy of it. But I'm not Noah. I'm Harden. And being hardened doesn't mean shit. If I didn't have so many fucking issues vying for attention inside my head, I could have made her happy. I could have shown her the light in life, just as she has done for me. Instead, here she sits, broken and completely fucked up. Her skin is streaked with dark mud, the filth on her hands has now begun to dry, and her face, even in sleep, is twisted into a painful frown. Her hair is wet in some places, dry and matted in others, and I begin to wonder if she has changed her clothes more than once since she left London. I would have never sent her back here if I could even have imagined she would find her dad's body in my apartment. When it comes to Tessa's father himself and his death, the confusion I feel is overwhelming. The instinct to brush it off as a non-event happening to a misfit who wasted his life away comes first. But then immediately, the loss of him is heavy on my chest. I didn't know him long, and I barely tolerated the man. But he was decent enough company. I would be hard-pressed to admit it, but I sort of liked him. He was obnoxious, and I absolutely loathed the way he emptied box after box of my cereal. But I adored something about the way he loved Tessa, and his optimistic outlook on life, even though his own life fucking sucked. And the irony is that as soon as he finally had something, someone worth living for, he's gone. Like he couldn't handle that much goodness. My eyes burned to release some sort of emotion. Grief, maybe. Grief for losing a man I barely knew or liked. Grief for losing the idea of a father I thought I had with Ken. Grief for losing Tessa. And just a tiny bit of hope that she will come around and not be lost forever. My selfish tears mix with the drops of moisture falling from my rain-soaked hair, and I bow my head, fighting the urge to bury my face into her neck for comfort. I don't deserve her comfort. I don't deserve anyone's comfort. I deserve to sit here alone and weep like a pitiful rogue amid silence and desolation. My oldest and truest friends. The pathetic sobs that leave my mouth are lost in the sound of the rain, and I'm thankful that this girl I adore is asleep and unable to witness the breakdown that I can't seem to control. My own actions are the driving force behind every fucked up thing that's happening right now, right down to Richard's death. If I hadn't agreed to take Tessa to England, none of this shit would have happened. We would be blissful and stronger than ever, just like we were a week ago. Fuck, has it only been that long? It seems impossible that such few days have come and gone. Yet it seems like a damn lifetime since I've touched her, held her, and felt her heart beating under my palm. My hand hovers there, across her chest, wanting to touch her, but afraid to wake her. If I can just touch her once, just feel the steady beat of her heart, it will anchor mine and calm me. It will bring me out of this breakdown and stop these disgusting tears from rolling down my cheeks and stop the violent heaves of my chest. Tessa! Noah's deep voice rumbles through the rain outside. Then thunder booms through the air like an exclamation mark. I wipe at my face furiously, praying to disappear into the chill spring air before he comes bursting in here. Tessa! He calls again, this time louder, and I know he's right outside the greenhouse. I grit my teeth and hope that he doesn't yell her name again, because if he wakes her up, I... Oh, thank God! I should have known she was in here! He exclaims when he bursts in. His voice is loud, his expression wild with relief. Would you shut the fuck up? She's just fallen asleep. I whisper harshly and glance down at Tessa's sleeping form. He's the last person that I wanted to walk in on me like this, and I know he can see my bloodshot eyes, the messy evidence of a breakdown clear in the redness of my cheeks. Fuck, I don't think I can even hate this motherfucker, because he's making it a point not to stare at me, not to embarrass me. It makes part of me hate him more, that he's that unfailingly good. She... Noah looks around the muddy greenhouse and back to Tessa. I should have known she would be in here. She always used to come in here. He brushes his blonde hair back from his forehead and surprises me by taking a step toward the door. I'll be in the house, he says wearily. Then, his shoulders sagging, he leaves without even so much as a rough closing of the screen door.
Chapter 28. Tessa. He's been pestering me for the last hour, staring into the mirror, watching me apply my makeup and curl my hair, groping me every chance he gets.
Tess, baby.
Harden groans for the second time.
I love you, but you've got to hurry up or we will be late to our own party.
I know, I just want to look decent. Everyone will be there. I give him an apologetic smile, knowing he won't stay annoyed long and secretly loving the unpleasant expression on his face. I love the way a dimple appears on his right cheek when he has that adorable, grumpy scowl.
Decent? You'll be the center of everyone's attention,
he whines, his jealousy clear. What's the party for again? I swipe a thin layer of gloss across my lips. I can't remember what's going on. I only know everyone is excited and we are going to be late if I don't finish grooming myself soon. Harden's strong arms wrap around me, and just like that, I suddenly remember what everyone's celebrating. It's such a horrible thought. I drop the tube of gloss into the sink and let out a little gasp just as Harden whispers,
"Your father's funeral."
I sit up and, finding myself wrapped around Harden, quickly untangle myself from him.
What's wrong? What happened?
He exclaims. Harden's here, right beside me, and my legs were intertwined with his. I shouldn't have fallen asleep. Why did I do that? I don't even remember falling asleep. The last thing I remember was Hardin's warm hands on mine, covering my ears. Nothing, I croak. My throat burns, and I take in my surroundings while my brain catches up with me. I need water. I rub my neck and attempt to stand. Stumbling, I glance down at Hardin. His face is tight and his eyes are red.
Did you have a dream?
The nothing quickly creeps back inside me, settling just below my breastbone and setting up camp there in the deepest, emptiest spot.
Sit down.
He reaches for me, but his fingers burn on my skin and I pull away. Please don't, I quietly beg. The grumpy, adorable Hardin from my dream was just that, a pointless dream, and I am now faced with this Hardin, the one who keeps coming back for another hit after tossing me aside. I know why he does it, but that doesn't mean I'm willing to deal with it right now. He lowers his head in defeat and drops his hand to the ground to lift himself up. His knee slides farther into the mud, and I look away while he catches himself on the railing.
I don't know what to do,
he says softly. You don't have to do anything, I mutter, and attempt to pull all of my strength into forcing my legs to take me out of here and into the pouring rain. I'm halfway across the yard when I hear him behind me. He's keeping a safe distance behind me, and I'm grateful. I need space from him. I need time to think and breathe, and I need him not to be here. I pull the back door open and step inside the house. Mud instantly streaks the rug, and I cringe at the reaction that this mess will pull from my mother. Instead of waiting to hear her complaints, I undress down to my bra and panties, leaving my clothes in a muddy pile on the back porch, and try my best to rinse my feet in the rain before trudging across the clean tile floor. My feet squeak with each step, and I flinch as the back door opens and Hardin's boots track mud in with them. Such a silly thing to worry about, mud. Out of all the things on my mind, mud seems so trivial, so small. I miss the days when a mess was a concern. A voice breaks through my inner discussion.
Tessa, did you hear me?
I blink and look up to find Noah standing in the hallway with damp clothes and no shoes on his feet. I'm sorry, I didn't. He nods sympathetically.
It's okay. Are you all right? Do you need a shower?
I nod, and he steps into the bathroom, starting the water. The noise from the shower draws me closer, but Hardin's hard voice stops me.
He's not helping you take a shower.
I don't respond. I don't have the energy to. Of course he's not going to. Why would he? Hardin walks past me, trailing mud behind him.
I'm sorry, but this isn't going to happen.
My mind is disconnected from me, or maybe it just feels that way. But I laugh ruefully at the mess he's left behind him. Not only in my mother's house, but everywhere he goes, he leaves a mess behind, including me. I'm the biggest mess of all. He disappears into the bathroom and says to Noah,
She's half naked and you're running her a shower. Fuck no. You aren't going to stay in here while she bathes. Nope. Not going to fucking happen. I'm only trying to help her, and you're causing a problem when...
I step into the doorway and push past the two brooding men. Both of you leave. My voice is monotone, robotic and flat. Go fight somewhere else. I push them out and shut the door. As the lock clicks into place, I pray that Hardin won't add this thin bathroom door to his list of destruction. Stripping the rest of the way down and stepping into the water, I find it hot. So hot against my back. I'm covered in filth, and I hate it. I hate the way the mud is crusted under my nails and into my hair. I hate the way that no matter how furiously I scrub, I can't seem to get clean.
Chapter 29. Hardin. I can't help that she was undressed. All of this stuff going on, and you're concerned about me seeing her body. The judgment in Noah's tone makes me want to strangle him with my good hand. It's not just... I take a deep breath. It's not that. It's a whole lot of shit that I'm not going to tell him. I fold my hands over my lap, then go to put them in my pockets before realizing the cast isn't going to fit. Awkwardly, I fold my hands over my lap again. I don't know what happened between you two, but you can't blame me for wanting to help her. I've known her my whole life, and I've never seen her like this. Noah shakes his head in disapproval. I'm not discussing anything with you. You and I aren't on the same team here. He sighs. We don't have to be rivals, either. I want the best for her, and so should you. I'm not a threat to you. I'm not stupid enough to think she would ever choose me. I've moved on. I still love her, because, well, I think I always will, but not in the way you love her. His words would be much more acceptable if I hadn't despised his ass for the past 8 months. I stay quiet, my back leaning against the wall in front of the bathroom, while I wait for the shower to shut off. You two broke up again, right? He asks nosily. He doesn't know when to shut up. Obviously. I close my eyes and let my head fall back slightly. I'm not getting into your business, but I do hope you'll tell me about Richard and how he ended up in your apartment. I don't get it. He was staying at my place after Tessa left for Seattle. He didn't have anywhere else to go, so I let him stay with me. When we left for London, he was supposed to go to rehab. So imagine the surprise when he ends up dead as a fucking doornail on the bathroom floor. The bathroom door clicks open, and Tessa walks straight past both of us, dressed only in a towel. Noah has never seen her naked before. No other man has. And selfishly, I'd like to keep it that way. I know I shouldn't be worried about shit like that, but I can't help it. I go into the kitchen for some water, and I'm enjoying the silence when I hear Carol's soft, timid voice.
Harden, can I talk to you for a minute?
I'm already confused by her tone, and the woman has barely started speaking. Sure. I stand back a little, keeping a safe distance from her. My back is against the wall in the small kitchen by the time I stop moving. Her expression is tight, and I know this is just as awkward for her as it is for me.
I just wanted to talk about last night.
I pull my eyes from her and glance at my feet. I don't know how this is going to go, but she's already pinned her hair back and cleaned the mess of makeup that was smeared under her eyes last night.
I don't know what got into me, she says. I should have never acted that way in front of you. It was incredibly stupid. And I...
It's fine, I interrupt, hoping she'll just stop.
No, it's really not fine. I want to be clear that nothing has changed here. I still feel strongly about you staying away from my daughter.
I look up to meet her eyes. It's not like I expected anything different from her. I wish I could say I will listen to you, but I can't. I know you don't like me. I pause and can't help but laugh at my understatement. You hate me, and I get that. But you know your opinion doesn't mean shit to me. I mean that in the nicest way possible. That's just the way it is. She catches me off guard by laughing along with me. Like mine, hers is a pained, low-ringing sound.
You're just like him. You speak to me the same way he spoke to my parents. Richard never cared what anyone thought about him either. But look where that got him.
I'm not him, I snap. I really am trying to be as nice to her as possible, but she's making it difficult. Tessa has been in the shower for so long, and it's taking everything in me not to check in on her, especially given Noah's presence.
You have to try to see this entire thing from my perspective, Harden. I was in the same type of toxic relationship, and I know how these things end. I don't want that for Tessa, and if you loved her the way you claim, you wouldn't want that for her either.
She looks at me, seeming to expect a reaction from me, but then continues.
I want the best for her. You may not believe me,
But I always raised Tessa not to depend on a man, the way I did. And look at her now. She's 19 years old, and she's reduced to nothing each and every time you decide to leave her.
She holds up her hand.
Let me finish. She sighs. I envied her, actually. It's pathetic. But a part of me was envious that you always came back for her, the way Richard never came back for me. But the more you left, the more I realized that you two will have the same ending that we did, because even though you come back, you never stay. If you want her to end up like me, alone and hateful, then you keep doing what you're doing, and I can assure you that's exactly what will happen to her.
I hate the way Carol sees me, but even more than that, I hate the way that she's right. I do always leave Tessa, and even though I come back, I wait until she's comfortable, and then I leave again.
It's up to you. You're the only person she seems to listen to, and my daughter loves you too much for her own good.
I know she does. She loves me, and because she loves me, we won't end up like her parents.
You can't give her what she needs. You're only holding her back from finding someone who will,
she says. But mostly what I hear is Tessa's old bedroom door closing, meaning that she's out of the shower.
You'll see, Carol. You'll see,
I say, and pull an empty glass from the cabinet. Filling it with water for Tessa, I tell myself I can change our course and prove everyone wrong, myself included. I know that I can.
Chapter 30. Tessa. I feel slightly less insane after the shower, or maybe the short nap in the greenhouse, or maybe the silence I was finally granted. I don't know, but I can see the world with more clarity, only slightly more, but it's helping me not feel so delusional and giving me a little hope that each day will bring more clarity, more peace.
I'm coming in,
Harden says, and opens the door before I can respond. I pull a clean t-shirt down over my stomach and sit on the bed.
I brought you more water.
He places a full glass on the small nightstand and sits on the opposite side of the bed. I came up with a speech in the shower, but now that he's here in front of me, I can't remember any of it. Thank you, is all I can think to say.
Are you feeling better?
He's being cautious. I must look so frail, so weak to him. I feel it, too. I should feel defeated and angry and sad and confused and lost. The thing is, there's still nothing. There's the deep throb of nothing, though I'm growing used to it as each minute passes. During each long minute in the shower while the water turned cold, I thought of things from a new perspective. I thought of the way my life has turned into this dark hole of absolutely nothing, and I thought about how much I hated feeling that way. And I thought of the perfect solution, but now I can't get the jumbled words into a proper sentence. This must be what it feels like to lose your mind.
I hope you are.
He hopes I'm what?
Feeling better,
he adds, answering my thoughts. I hate the way he's so connected to me, the way he knows what I'm feeling and thinking even when I don't. I shrug and focus on the wall again. I am, sort of. The wall is easier to focus on than the brilliant green of his eyes, the green that I was always so terrified of losing. I remember that when we would lie in bed together, I was always hoping I would get another hour, another week, maybe even another month with those eyes. I would pray that he would come around and want me permanently the way I wanted him. I don't want to feel that anymore. I don't want that desperation rolling off me when it comes to him. I want to sit here with my nothing and be content and quiet, and maybe one day I can become someone else, someone I thought I would be before I started college. If I'm lucky, I could at least once again be the girl I was before I left home. That girl is long gone, though. She took a ticket straight to hell, and here she sits, silently burning.
I want you to know how sorry I am for everything, Tessa. I should have come back here with you. I shouldn't have ended things with you because of my own problems. I should have let you be there for me like I want to be for you. Now I know how you must feel, constantly trying to help me when I pushed and pushed you away.
Harden, I whisper, not sure what I will say next.
No, Tessa, let me say this. I promise you, this time it will be different. I'll never do that again. I'm sorry that it took your dad dying to make me realize how much I need you, but I won't run off again, won't neglect you again, won't disappear into myself again, I swear it.
The desperation in his voice is all too familiar. I've heard this same tone and these same words many, many times from him. I can't, I say calmly. I'm sorry, Harden, but I really can't. He moves to my side in a panic and drops to his knees in front of me, ruining the carpet there.
Can't what? I know it will take some time, but I'm prepared to wait for you to come out of this state of grief you're in. I'm willing to do everything. I mean, everything.
We can't. We never could. My voice is flat again. I guess robotic Tessa is here to stay. I don't have enough energy to push any emotion into my words.
We can get married,
he rambles, then seems surprised by his own words, but he doesn't take them back. His long fingers wrap around both of my wrists.
Tessa, we can get married. I'll marry you tomorrow if you'll agree. I'll wear a tux and everything.